I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today. We want to welcome those who also are joining us at home. We also want to welcome maybe those who are visiting us online for the very first time. You're so welcome as we look forward to worshiping together this morning. Today in our service, we're going to be thinking a little bit about how Scripture prepares us so that we can understand God's work. That's what we're going to be thinking about in our service today. And I wanted to just mention a few notices. You'll see on the slide most of the familiar notices for each week are there. There's a few that are not there usually, which I just want to draw our attention to. On Tuesday evening, the committee of the Men's Society are meeting in the church hall at 7 o'clock. That's on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. And on Wednesday afternoon, the Bowls Club are resuming their activities at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you haven't tried bowls before and you'd like to come along, you can be assured of a very warm welcome. And that is at 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. I also wanted to say a very big thank you to everyone who worked so hard in the midst of the wind and the storm yesterday in tidying up around the church grounds. There was a great turnout. It was lovely to see people and to work together. And there was a great sense of community and also a great sense of achievement as the grounds were tidied up. So thank you so much to everybody who helped to make that possible. Our services next Sunday are morning prayer at 11 o'clock, evening prayer at 7. And we're going to begin our worship as we stand together to sing the hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today is a psalm that speaks of the majesty of God. We're going to say together the words of Psalm 48. Great is the Lord.
Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised.
In the city of our God, his holy mountain is fair and lifted high, the joy of all the earth. On one side, the divine dwelling place, stands the city of the great King. In her palaces, God has shown himself to be a sure refuge. For behold, the kings of the earth assembled and swept together. They saw and were dumbfounded. Dismayed, they fled in terror. Trembling seized them there. They writhed like a woman in labor, as when the east wind shatters the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, the city of our God. God has established her forever. We have waited on your loving kindness, O God, in the midst of your temple. As with your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of justice. Let Mount Zion rejoice, and the daughters of Judah be glad, because of your judgments, O Lord. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Count all her towers, consider well her bulwarks, pass through her citadels, that you may tell those who come after that such is our God forever and ever. It is he that shall be our guide forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to be seated for our Old Testament reading.
Our Old Testament reading is found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 43, starting at verse 27. At the end of these days, from the eighth day on, the priests are to present your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings on the altar. Then I will accept you, declares the Sovereign Lord. Then the man brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, the one facing east, and it was shut. The Lord said to me, "This gate is to remain shut. It must not be opened. No one may enter through it. It is to remain shut because the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered through it. The priest himself is the only one who may sit inside the gateway to eat in the presence of the Lord. He is to enter by way of the portico of the gateway and go out through the same way." Then the man brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the temple. I looked and saw the glory of the Lord filling the temple of the Lord, and I fell face down. This is the word of the Lord.
During the singing of our next hymn, the children and young people will be leaving us for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out today. We're going to sing the hymn, "Great is the Lord." If you'd like to be seated for our New Testament reading.
Our New Testament reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, starting at verse 22. When the time for their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord." And they went there to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the Lord required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what had been said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Now I'm going to stop here a wee moment, and I'd like to take the opportunity to fill you in as a congregation on something that's been happening during the week in the parish. The local school, Lisnashara Primary School, have very kindly opened their doors to us as a church. One day a week, I go in, and now I've been joined by one volunteer just now, but possibly more, which is absolutely lovely. One day a week, we go in, and there's a group of children who, for a couple of reasons, but lockdown being a big part of it, have just not, they've struggled with their literacy, and they're struggling with numeracy. And so the school has allowed us to go in and to read with these children and to give them extra experience, a bit of small group work, sometimes one-to-one work, the way the dynamics are. And it has been a lovely time of the week. I was a primary school teacher forever, and so it's a treat for me. I get to go in, work with the kids, and then walk away with no admin. And the school thanked me for it. If I'd ever done that in the past, walk away, haven't not done any admin, I never got thanked. So this is a way in which, as a church, we're able to serve our local community. And these children they're beautiful children, and the chance to go in and serve them. And we wanted you to know that this is something that's been going on, is going well. And if it's something that would interest you, there's no teaching experience is required. But if you feel that once a week you would be able to come along and join us and join this small group and offer us ourselves as a church to the community, you would be very, very welcome. It really is a nice time. And I'll let you in the secret. Don't tell anyone. My secret wish would be if we could get 3 or 4 people other than myself to go into the school, that means that group of 3 or 4 could work or go in on a rotation and it not be too heavy. They would have weeks off and be able to do that with each other. Curates come and go, but this church is going to stay. And it would be absolutely amazing if there was a group of people who could take care of that school. And links are opening up. So I wanted to let you know, I wanted to fill you in. And to those people who have already volunteered and expressed an interest, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And we've printed off some volunteer sheets in the blind optimism that we'll be giving them out soon. So thank you very much.
Let's stand together now to affirm our faith in the God who loves us and who believes in us as we share the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for today, the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. Creator God, who in the beginning commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ may dispel the darkness of ignorance and unbelief, shine into the hearts of all your people, and reveal the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. As we think about this theme about how Scripture prepares us so we can understand God's work, we're going to sing together the hymn, Help Us, Lord, to Learn.
Heavenly Father, help us to look to you, to listen to you, and to learn from you, and to grow in you. Amen. I can't sit still unless I'm doing something. It would often drive people at home to distraction. I would hear it more than once. Andy, would you just sit still? Would you just sit down? I think it's just inbuilt. I need to be occupied. We recently got a dog, which has been great, because now I've got somebody who can take me out for walks and get rid of some of my energy. But during lockdown, like everyone else, the time seemed to stretch on and on. Now, in my family, there are crafters, some genuinely talented people. One of the things they like to do is knit. And I looked at them and looked at what they were making, and I thought, can't be that hard. It is quite hard, but I thought, I'll give it a go. It's something to occupy me, something to think about. And so I gave it a go, and I'm going to show you these. I made two of the stoles. I didn't know I was coming here, but I knew I was coming somewhere, so I made two of these stoles. I'm not going to put them on, because that would be wearing three stoles at once. I don't think that's ever happened before. I don't know what would happen. But it was a good way to occupy myself. And then I realized something, and you may not find this interesting, but I found it interesting. The stitches. The two most common stitches, loads of you will know, you've got the knit and you've got the purl, spelled P-U-R-L, disappointingly. Have a look at the slide. Can we have the first slide, please? So, this is a knit stitch. If you knit and you only knit, this is what it looks like. It kind of has that chevron shape, and that's it. So when you look at that, there'll be people who look at that and go, huh, knit stitch. Been doing that forever, Andy. Can we have the next slide, please, like Chris Whitty? That is the purl stitch. So when you see purl, that's what it looks like. To me, it looks like a half chain. It's more horizontal. So first of all, you have the chevron shapes, and then you've got these these more horizontal shapes. Now, can we have the next one? So this is where you've got them laid next to each other. You've got the knit, and you've got the purl. But what I didn't realize, and what I found interesting, is that they're the same stitch. If you are looking at the front and you see the knit, when you turn it around, you're going to be looking at the purl. If the purl is the front, when you turn it around, you're looking at the knit. They're the same stitch. You just do it a wee bit differently so a different one comes to the front, so you know what your front side is. But you can't make one without making the other. You can't make a knit without making a purl. You can't make a purl without making a knit. And I wonder if we could have the next slide. This came to mind because of today's reading. Today's reading that I'm going to be speaking about is Jesus in the temple meeting Simeon. Excuse me. And it's a New Testament reading. But we can't have that reading. That reading doesn't exist without the Old Testament for a number of reasons. The New Testament, we often as Christians say, well, that's our main bread and butter. It shouldn't be. I know why it is, but there's an argument for saying it shouldn't be. There are some people who say, I'm a New Testament Christian. They're not. They can't be. You can't have anything in the New Testament without also having the Old Testament behind it. And then when you turn around and you look at the Old Testament, there's a New Testament behind it. They're the same scriptures. And it's these scriptures and the people who inhabit these scriptures that I wanted to look at very briefly today. Today's reading has an Old Testament setting. Mary and Joseph take their baby to the ancient temple. The original temple had been built by Solomon many years before. It had been destroyed and then was rebuilt in around 500 years before in the Old Testament period. And why do Mary and Joseph go there? Well, because they knew their scriptures, because of the book of Exodus. They went there to fulfill a duty as set out in the law of Moses. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated by the priest, is what it says. Actually, it's not what it says. It talks about the womb being broken, but I thought, I'm not going to read that this morning. Put everyone off their lunch. So what they did was a form of recognition that the firstborn
in a Jewish family is to be consecrated to God because of what happened in Egypt. Again, an Old Testament text. In Egypt, there have been those awful plagues, and the firstborn of the Egyptian families had died. The reason the Jewish firstborn children had been saved was by killing a lamb and putting the blood over the doors. So Mary and Joseph were supposed to come and sacrifice a lamb to reenact almost that saving of the firstborn by God. Except they didn't bring a lamb. They brought, it was either a pair of doves or pigeons, because they also knew their Old Testament in Leviticus. They knew that if they didn't have enough money to perform, to bring a lamb, they could bring doves or pigeons. So anyone looking at this text will see it as a thorough Old Testament setting. You've got the temple, you've got the law, you've got people understanding the small, tiny aspects of the law. This is an Old Testament setting. And then Simeon comes up, and he's there. He's been led into the temple that day, and he's absolutely drenched in the scriptures. He knew to expect Jesus because he had read Isaiah, he'd read Malachi, Zephaniah, and the rest. Now, the Holy Spirit prompted him to go to the temple that day because God had promised him that he would see the Messiah before he died. That's such a lovely promise. I sometimes wonder why we're not talking about him every day. It's such a lovely promise. And he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And at the very least, his words are absolutely dripping in Isaiah. Then we meet Anna. Anna is a widow. In that society, she had zero status, sadly, because her status would have come through her husband, and her husband was no longer there. Thankfully, things are different. But she was a widow. She lived in the temple. She devoted herself to God. She's the first human evangelist in Luke. Luke, by the way, wants us to know that a woman's place is in the home of God, sharing his work, sharing his gospel, and leading the others to his Messiah. Mary, Joseph, Simeon, Anna, their actions were what we would call Old Testament actions. They knew that. The Holy Spirit had provided the spark that day. But had Simeon and Anna not been so soaked in the scriptures, they wouldn't have recognized the Messiah when he came. They wouldn't have known what was going on, and they wouldn't have had the language to express their understanding. Without their immersion in the scriptures, they wouldn't have recognized who Jesus was. And that would have been a miss, a real miss. So this is an Old Testament setting. It's when you read Luke, you kind of think it's an Old Testament story. It's such a continuation. If you were to lift these characters and stick them alongside Samuel, Hannah, Moses, all those Old Testament characters, they would have got on with each other. They would have known one another. Now, Wanda, could we have the fifth slide, please, the next one? So, there's a rising popularity just now among vintage t-shirts and vintage band t-shirts. This is my one, obviously. You've seen me wear this, surely. However, if I was to walk around wearing a t-shirt like this, any true fans of Daniel O'Donnell, don't give it away by forgetting his name, Daniel O'Donnell, would have a right to stop me and ask me a question. Apparently, if you can name 10 songs by a particular band or singer, and if you've been to one of their concerts, you have the right to wear their t-shirt. A guy I worked with ages ago, when he heard that I was a Christian, he kind of pinned me on a couple of things. He was open-minded but skeptical, very nice guy. And he said, "Have you read the Bible?" And I said, "Yes." He said, all of it. I said, yes. He said, okay. And he let me away with it. He said, my sister and my dad are Christians, but I don't think they've read the Bible. It's like they have the T-shirt, but they don't know the songs. They haven't been to any of the concerts. And there's a truth to what he's saying. It does need a footnote. If you were to gather everyone who ever believed in Jesus, or everyone who'd ever believed in the God of Israel, if you gathered them all in one place, most of them would have been illiterate. Most of them could not have read. And still, God speaks. God speaks to people outside of the Bible. And we must remember that. The Bible is the word of God, but God is not mute outside of its pages. But if we have access to a Bible, I think we'd need to have a good reason not to read it. I've not always found it an easy book to read. Growing up, I would have read it in small chunks, and I found it a bit bitty and a bit hard to put it together. Now, reading it in small chunks suits some people, and they're smarter than I am. They're able to do that. Then I heard a talk by somebody called Tom Wright, and Tom Wright is a gift from God when it comes to understanding the Bible. And he had an idea. He said, read it like a novel. Sit down and just read. So I learned to make a cup of coffee, find a comfy place, and sit down and just read. And I read through the New Testament one Lent. Lent is coming up. I read through the New Testament one Lent, and then I realized if I want to understand this properly, I think I'm going to have to go and read the Old Testament, a bit daunting. I think I'm going to have to read it, though, because it's clearly linked. And I found that you didn't just have to read it. Sometimes you can listen to it. And if I press here, don't let me down. Come on, you. I wonder if I've got... Do you know what it is? I've got my Do Not Disturb on because we're in church and that's not letting me play. Let's try this again. I found that sometimes you could stick a podcast on or stick on YouTube or stick on Bible Gateway.
Together she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame.
And the easiest thing to do is to listen as you're walking the dog, as you're driving the car, and all of a sudden you realize four or five chapters have gone by, and you've just absorbed that and gotten it in. Some of us are readers, some of us are listeners. The first people who experienced the scriptures would have listened to it. Mary, Simeon, Anna, and Joseph, they were steeped in the scriptures, and this is why they recognized what God was doing. This is why they recognized the Messiah. And they recognized him in their own time, and they knew how to respond. For us to know God and to recognize his Son, to recognize what God is doing, to hear his Holy Spirit, I would suggest that being immersed in the Bible is the way to go. And this might be for people who've been Christians for longer, but again, having said that, I would see the benefits for people who are new as well. There are some tricky parts. Some parts of the Bible don't seem to go well together. People would say, well, they contradict each other. There's a way to absorb all of that and allow God to walk us through without pretending that it's an easy book. I'm no Simeon and I'm no Anna, but I can attest to how life-changing it is to spend time with the Bible, to see the whole Genesis to Revelation story, and to see the stories within the story. So if I could leave one thing with you today, it would be see if it would fit for you to take time this week and beyond, especially coming up for Lent, to start reading, if you're not doing so already, in larger segments, larger chunks, or listening. Because there is no limit to what can happen to us as we start to do that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you for your teaching, your guidance, and your presence that comes through your word. Help us as your children to become better and better at hearing you and understanding your will, your loves, and your concerns. We thank you for your written word and for the many ways we have to access it. There are countries where owning a Bible can lead to a prison sentence. Help us not to be blasé at the privilege we have. Help us to read and to listen and to read and to listen and to see the world as you do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the world that you have made. We pray for Ukraine, the talking and posturing and the building up of a military presence. We wonder when your way will be our way and your thoughts will be our thoughts. And we ask you to have mercy on those who live there. And Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this country during this weekend of remembering everything. Lots of things that have happened in this country have divided neighbors and friends and even families. May our memories not lead us down old trodden paths, but in your loving hands, lead us in a new way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this parish and this church. We pray for those who are sick, and we pray for those who are dying. We thank you for your promise of eternal life, and we ask that you make us all ready. We pray for the schools in our areas. Staff absences are through the roof. And we pray for children in our community. And we pray that they and their families will be held by your love and help us to go to them, bringing them under our roof. We also pray for the teens in this area, dozens of them. Help us to reach out and again bring them under our roof. Let them grow up in a church community like so many of us had the opportunity to do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray these things in the knowledge that you are here, and we pray believing. And we continue our prayers with the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We're going to sing again now the hymn Thanks to God Whose Word Has Spoken.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining with us in our service today, and we're going to just bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ the Son be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Our closing hymn today is the hymn, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing."